Welcome back, everybody, to the Grid Gas Bags podcast. We are post Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, and you're here with Eleanor and
Katrina. Hello. I've never watched Saudi Arabia before.
No, we're talking how this last year, I think we missed it. One, because we had stuff on that weekend. Two, the timing. Three, I think it ended up getting to like the Wednesday or the Thursday the week after, and then it was Australia, so we just never ended up watching it. We'll just watch Australia instead. But because there's a week gap, we actually ended up watching it this time round, and I mean, we didn't really miss out much last year, I'm going to say, but it wasn't a bad race. It wasn't a good race.
It was okay. It was interesting for the fact that Ollie Bearman was there, but yeah. Apart from that, nothing really too interesting. Like, Eleanor and I were talking before this, going, if you were to be randomly called up for a single replacement race, like Ollie Bearman has been, one race only, what would you pick? And in my mind, I've automatically gone, I wouldn't pick a night race because I am a morning person, not an evening person. So a night race.
I would argue you're not a morning person. You're just not a night person.
I'm not a night person. So I am more of a morning person than a night person. So I automatically, I mean, 3 p.m. start for me would already be like, oh my God, so late. So for me, that automatically eliminates every single night race. And there's not too many, but there's enough to knock.
What races are night races?
We had Bahrain, we've got Qatar. Jeddah. Qatar's a night race.
No, this is Saudi Arabia.
I know. We've got Bahrain, we've got Qatar, we've got Saudi Arabia. We've got Vegas, we've got Singapore.
Oh, yes. Singapore, yep. Will China be a night race?
No, China's a day race. So they're the ones that I would automatically knock out. But
That's not that many night races.
But I was thinking like time of the year and where you're going. I am not a great driver in the rain. But by context, it rains very rarely within where we are in Perth.
You don't have much time to practice.
No, it really rarely rains. So anywhere that could have rain, automatically no, which eliminates everywhere in Europe, which effectively
not
leaves
everywhere,
me
just the majority useless driver,
which leaves me somewhere hot. But what did we just discuss?
No,
most
night
of those
race.
Hot places and night races. So I would end up being in Melbourne. But then I was like, but you know what? Like,
you could
as
Dakota.
An Australian, I would prefer probably Melbourne anyways, because if you knew you were only going to race once, you'd be like, you know what, friends, family, come visit me. And you'd just feel comfortable. Whereas if you're doing your first race in your not own country, so like not the country you're from. not necessarily the country of your citizenship, but the country that you enjoy spending time in. Yeah. You have an additional thing to consider if you're only racing for one race. Whereas if you're in your home country, you're like, well, I don't have to worry about that as well.
See, what I said is that I don't necessarily have the issue of like a night race versus a day race. I just don't think I'd want to debut on a sprint.
I think it's a really smart thing to consider. So what are the sprint races this year?
Oh, that's a very good question.
We've got five.
Where's my phone?
I want to say that.
Where's my book? Oh, there we go. Hold on.
I want to say that we have five sprint races this year. Qatar is a sprint race again.
Is it? Okay.
I think Japan is also a sprint race. I think Austria is also a sprint race.
Japan isn't.
Okay, so
Japan isn't.
Is it still Azerbaijan?
China is.
China, okay.
China's the sprint race.
Is it still Brazil?
There's two back-to-back sprint races. It goes China and then Miami. Both of those are sprint races. I say back-to-back, there's like a week in between them. So round five and round six are sprint races. Italy. No.
So what are the sprint races? So you...
China.
No, you
Miami,
wouldn't want to race in those.
China, Miami. Imola isn't one. Or Monza. Which was the first Italian one?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't think Spain
Imola's
is.
First.
Imola. Okay, so Imola isn't one. So I could race for Imola.
Mm-hmm.
My phone is incredibly slow.
But it's one of those ones where I was thinking maybe I would want to do a sprint race, because that way you get double the amount of practice time, but then you have double the amount of chances for something to go wrong.
I think that's the reason why I wouldn't, is because the double amount of chances something could go wrong. And if something goes wrong, you're then under more pressure to then fix things up. Austria is. So I wouldn't want to race for the China weekend, the Miami weekend, the Austrian Red Bull Ring weekend. I don't think Silverstone's historically a sprint race, is it? Nah, they wouldn't.
If you're
make,
going off the back of just sprint, yeah, race
they
weekends.
Wouldn't. They wouldn't make Silverstone a sprint. Belgium's not a sprint. Maybe the Netherlands.
But Netherlands, yeah, so there's a few there that knock out you.
Me.
Yeah, but like they're
what
quite.
What races are the sprint weekends? I've literally clicked every second one, and they're not popping up as. It looks like they must be blocking the sprint races in.
What like do you mean?
Doing blocks. So, for example, I've just clicked all of the European races post, like near Canada, Monaco, all of that. None of them are sprint races.
Yeah, but there's no weekends. Sprint races typically fall when there's a week gap.
So there's Brazil. So we've got China, gap. Miami, Austria, Brazil, Qatar. And there's two back-to-back sprints again.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what happened in this race? How about we go through what you...
Oh, do you want to go through our qualifying? No,
our predictions. Let's go through our predictions right at the beginning, yeah.
So I just want to call out... Katrina called out Stroll as a wild card.
Oh, that counts. What was your wild card?
Behrman. And I'm putting Behrman in as a wild card for him to get points. He got points. He came sixth, so that's a point... I got the wrong people. And then you said Stroll.
You know what? I reckon
out.
I think they both count because if Stroll had just crashed, it wouldn't have made a difference. But there are a couple of things that I think give me that point there. One, it is the exact same place where he clipped the wall over the free practice session. So he's made the same judgment of where he needs to place his car as a mistake twice. But also for the iconic radio response that happens when he hits the wall.
They were like, Stroll's are you race okay? engineer
was like, can you take the car? He's like, Stroll okay? radios through and goes, I clipped the wall. And then his race engineer replies with, can you get the car back to us or back to the pits? And Stroll just responds, I'm in the fucking wall. That's
how he responds.
Iconic. So good. Both get points for that.
So I want to call out, you got the top five correct.
But in the completely wrong order. Because I said Leclerc came fourth.
Yeah. So you said Verstappen first, yep. Then Alonso, then Perez, then Leclerc, then Piastri.
Oh,
you got the top
so
five,
close.
But just in the wrong order.
The order I wanted.
Yeah, so you've got a total of 2 points this weekend. Hmm. I guessed Verstappen first.
Yeah.
Perez second.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Alonso third, Leclerc fourth, Norris fifth. So I then get, so there's 2 points.
You just get an extra one for Perez.
My 1 point from qualifying predictions and then my 1 point for Behrman's, so that's 2, 3, 4. I'm on 4 points.
There we go.
I'm on 4 points.
So as to how the weekend between qualifying and the race went, Ferrari confirmed that Carlos Sainz has undergone his appendicitis, so appendix removal surgery, and is all okay, no complications.
Oh, he was at the grid on Sunday.
And he was at the race on Sunday. He's popped up on screens a few times. And I just want to cast your mind back for those of you thinking, oh, well, Albon had a few weeks off between his appendicitis removal and going back to racing, and Carlos Sainz was back at the grid on Sunday. Like, why didn't the comparison of
Why did it take Albon so long?
If it has slipped your mind, while Alex Albon went to hospital for his appendicitis, he also had to be held in for respiratory problems. So he had multiple things going back, which extended his time to get back to racing. So just that no complications seem to have been reported for science, and I think it looks that way for the fact that he was there at the actual race. So I think it is probably a fair assumption that he is going to race in Australia.
Yeah. So the end standings, as we kind of alluded to, double Red Bull 1-2, then Leclerc, Piastri, Alonso, Russell, Behrman came seventh, so we got 6 points. Norris, Hamilton and Hülkenberg rounded out the top 10. Bottom 10, Albon, Magnussen, Ocon, Sargeant, Tsunoda, Ricciardo, Bottas, Zhou. We mentioned that Stroll crashed out on like lap 6, 7.
But before that, we had retirement of Gasly. Gasly had an issue with his gearbox at the end of the formation lap, and the pit wall decided to box him before he even finished the first lap. So we had two retirements, one involuntary and one... No, both two involuntary requirements. Yeah.
The interesting thing I was going to talk to is that because of Stroll's red flag at... No, not red flag, yellow flag and safety car at lap 6 or lap 7, the majority of the grid had started on medium tyres. apart from Ollie Bearman
and Bottas. And
Valtteri Bottas. They started on softs.
Yeah.
Perfect for their strategy. They went from softs straight onto hards. And looking at the historical tyre selection and the tyre wear and tear.
The recommendation tear. Of strategies for yeah. which to go first.
Traditionally, the hard tyre is proven to be a great tyre for this type of race. A one-stop race, go something and then hard or harder than something. And then that proved a very good strategy for Bearman. Bottas, I think, kind of lucked out in terms of the positioning. He could have done very well, but depending on how other people pitted in their strategies, he didn't end up doing the best and lucked out of that strategy. But everybody else went on to medium. So when Stroll ended up hitting the wall,
the timing was close was enough that people swapped out.
There was a flurry of people going in and out. Like, do we stay in? Do we stay out? Majority of people swapped tyres and changed in for a pit stop, with the exception of Norris and Hamilton. They were Norris, Hamilton, and Joe, I think. They all stayed out. Ultimately, in the end, it didn't benefit them. They probably should have come in and gone on to hards. However, based on the positioning of the drivers, they would have had to double stack.
It was
too close to call.
Most teams did end up double stacking, but there was either enough time between the drivers or positions between the drivers to allow it.
With the exception of Red Bull, they double stacked with maybe a second or two in between both drivers.
Verstappen was far ahead enough.
Very, very good. Very impressive by their team.
But for both the Mercedes and the McLarens, the cars were slightly too close together. But both of their cars still finished in the top 10. I want to point out an interesting factor over the weekend that's popped up regarding the scores.
Scores.
And although it's only the second race. The
scoring.
Yeah, so Oliver Bearman, Eleanor mentioned, finished seventh. So he now has six points. Oliver Bearman has more points than half of the grid, as well as more points than just under half of the teams. So
it is Bearman only race has, two, though.
Bearman has more points than both Alpines, plus both Haases,
plus both Williams,
plus both Racing Bulls. I think Hülkenberg's only like 1 point shy or something from him. But goes to show what
a Ferrari car can do.
It goes to show what a fast car can do, but also the difference between a fast driver in a fast car and a new driver in a fast car. So I think
you're saying essentially any of the drivers from the other teams could technically go into a Ferrari and perform equally.
Yeah, but I'm also saying that then it sets kind of an ultimatum for both Sainz and Leclerc going forward that, hey, we've got someone brand new, no experience in this specific car, is able to finish seventh. So should you finish seventh or higher?
Mm. Yeah. I would agree to disagree, with the exception that Leclerc is essentially matched now Sainz in terms of performance. Sainz got the podium last in Bahrain. Leclerc got the podium again this time in Bahrain. It's basically Bahrain race 2.0, just swap out which Ferrari is on the podium. So I think that's good overall for Ferrari, the team. Maybe this is a symptom of the broadcasting company that KO users, and it's mainly Sky F1, it's mainly the British Sky F1. I kind of wish we got to see other drivers' points of view and other teams' point of views apart from just the British perspective.
Yeah, and that's one of the ones where you need to pay for the additional onboard views.
No, you can't. They don't show it in Australia.
You need to pay for the additional views to do the driver onboards, but it is a service that is not available within Australia, so we don't really have any legal viewing options that allow us to do that, which is unfortunate. But hey, the bigger this sport gains in popularity globally, the more opportunities there is for other media companies to adopt the rights and have potentially just Australian spectators, which is another reason why I'm so excited for Melbourne next week, because we have Australian spectators.
What was our weather last week? Oh no, hold on. Because we're in Perth, the weather that we get this week will be the weather that they get the week after. Last year was really, really hot, wasn't
it? Well, we've had a week of 30, 31, 32, but we had some rain last week, heavy rain.
Bucketed down.
So it might rain in Melbourne in a few weeks' time. We shall see.
Oh, that'll be interesting. What else happened? Okay, back to the race. Stroll was in the wall. Gasly didn't finish lap one. We had a couple of overtakes and then people changing their tyre strategies. I think the next kind of most interesting thing is that Perez made his way back up the grid. So I think from like lap 20 or so onwards, the top five or the top seven didn't really, the top six didn't really change with the exception of seven position below, which is then Behrmann. Magnussen and Albon were close to each other, I think, in one of the laps. Magnussen clipped Albon's front left, causing, it didn't cause an incident, but essentially caused damage between the cars. And that gave Albon a, I don't think he had to pit, but he had wing damage. Yeah, he had wing damage, but that gave Magnussen a 10-second penalty.
Correct. One 10-second penalty.
And then, I think, how many
Only a few laps later.
You said only a couple.
Magnussen is behind Tsunoda at this point and overtakes Tsunoda off track, which has granted him a 10-second penalty. So this is a rule change from last year to this year, is that if you overtake another driver off the, by going off the track and gaining an advantage, the previous penalty for that was a 5-second time penalty added to your end time. But most drivers found that was okay because they did it, wouldn't give the position back, and they would be able to make up the 5 seconds. Going into 2024, the FIA have made the rules a little bit more stringent, and if you do that exact same move, you get 10-second penalty. So we have Magnussen on a total of 20.
Demotivated from it now.
Yeah. Magnussen we have on a total of 20-second penalties, and we see at about lap 34-ish.
Yep.
Interesting strategy behavior from Haas, with Magnussen having to do his 20-second penalty. Hülkenberg's able to overtake him. We have Hülkenberg sitting just before the points, and Magnussen decides to drive slowly and does an Alonso from Monaco last year, the year before. No, it was when he was in
he's
the Alpine.
Essentially the bath plug, was, he's and doing... the rest of the drivers of the water trying to go out of that bath plug.
Exactly.
That was a weird analogy. You know, you knew what I meant.
Exactly. So, smart by Haas to use that time penalty for, I wouldn't say an advantage, but to give Hülkenberg as much space as he possibly can to reduce the time that other teams had to overtake him. So making the best of a poor situation, good on Haas for doing that.
What other notes did I have? This is probably, this Grand Prix, we ended up watching it with our parents and I didn't write down any notes. Instead, I texted Katrina every single note.
Not an efficient way of doing it. But it's interesting because we didn't have any time penalty. Oh, we also have a time penalty applied to Perez for a unsafe release during the flurry of pit stops as a result of Stroll's safety car. And Alonso is the one who requested that because he had to brake, and so Perez got a 5-second pit stop. It makes no difference to the overall standings because Perez is still able to finish second because of the Red Bull. But we've got three time penalties granted, two for Magnussen and one for Perez.
Can I read what your text message was for those things? Because
mine,
you were clearly in a rush when you texted them. So the Perez one, Perez, 5-second pentatonic for you.
Pentatonic for you. All right.
For you, safe release against Alonso. And then your next two Magnussen ones. Magnussen, 10-second Owen Tolt for causing a collision for Alex Alon in a wall.
In a wall, okay.
And then your next one was Magnussen, 10-second pentatonic on Tau-da-da, leaving track, overtaking.
Nice. So my auto text does not recognize Tsunoda or the word wall, apparently.
I think that was it, apart from, oh, actually, the only thing we did miss is because Norris and Hamilton decided to stay out, same with Zhou, Norris was the race leader for a couple of laps starting at lap 8, so he got to lead his race this year. Unfortunately, Norris didn't win the race, but he ended up coming, 8th. So that's probably the...
But I think that goes to show that McLaren has the ability to, I wouldn't say challenge Red Bull, but the trajectory of, if they take where the car is at to where they want the car to go, has a highly likelihood of chance of becoming second in the championship if they're able to increase their consistency, because we've seen inconsistencies between the Mercedes race to race as well as Ferrari race to race, and they're really race track and weather dependent. Hopefully McLaren will not just be there for a couple, but for majority of them. And I think Jeddah is a really good example of showing that it is possible what that team could achieve.
The one interesting thing is when, I can't remember the lady's name, but she was interviewing Norris, I think, after the grid. after the drivers' parade? Anyway, she was interviewing Norris, and Norris was talking about how their main competition, it's not with the Red Bulls, it's not with the Ferraris. For the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, this specific race, their race is against the Mercedes and the Aston Martins. And looking back at the final grid...
And it seems to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, so the McLarens came fourth and eighth. And then the Astons came fifth and, oh, well, he didn't finish, but fifth and last. And then the Mercedes finished sixth and ninth. So it's interesting that McLaren are basing their achievements off of those cars, because I wonder what metric they're using to say, okay, we're fast enough consistently to then be like, no, we're not racing against the Mercedes. We're not racing against the Astons. We're racing against the Ferraris and Red Bulls. I'm curious to see how that'll go.
And it's more... I don't think an issue of, oh, it won't happen. I think it will, but it's when, at which point in the season, because there's always a point where cars choose to stop developing the present year and focus on the year after. And I wonder if McLaren will decide to do that. If they see that they're not challenging Ferrari and Red Bull at the beginning, but noticing that they're challenging them at the end, will they do their development earlier or later? Who knows? I'm curious to see how they go.
That's essentially all I've got for notes.
That is a very short episode.
That is literally it. So next week, so what's the date today? Today is the 11th.
We have a week off and we have the 20th, but shall we do?
So the 22nd to the 24th of March is the Australian Grand Prix. Do you want to do our qualifying predictions again?
Yeah, let's do it.
I like this. Hold on. E-K quali.
Okay. I
want your top five and then your wild cards,
I think, please. Verstappen will get pole.
Is that going to be a running joke, whoever, like, it's just a guaranteed point?
I think it's smarter to include it than not.
Yeah, true.
I think Verstappen will get pole. I think Norris will qualify second.
Okay. Yep.
I think Leclerc will qualify third. I think Piastri fourth.
Oh, it's his home race. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think Piastri fourth and Perez fifth.
Perez fifth. Who's your wild card? You think of your wild card.
I'm Russell. Like,
why?
I don't know. But he now is. Okay. We haven't heard much of him during the race, apart from him snitching on Lando Norris for having a jump start, he didn't have a jump start after all that. That
was probably the only thing, yeah. It was, it looked, depending on the angle, whether it was the aerial angle or next door, it looked like Norris potentially had a jump start. He moved his wires.
His wheels forward a little bit, but he didn't go so far to count as cheating.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so Russell is my wild card, and maybe he'll snitch on someone next week too.
Who do I want? I'm going to do it in reverse order. Who do I want as my wild card? You know what? I'm going to say Ocon.
What, and cause another accident like he did last year?
Maybe, maybe not. Ocon. I think Ocon will do
Where
something.
Where did Ocon finish today?
He finished 13th.
Really?
Yeah.
In the Alpine?
Yeah.
Okay.
13th, yep. He was stuck behind Magnussen.
How is he quicker than both the Williams?
Oh.
Either way, okay, Ocon is your wild card. Who do you think will be fifth?
I think Alonso will be fifth.
I'd like to see Alonso fifth.
I think...
Hell, I'd like to see Alonso win.
I think Norris will be fourth. I think Piastri will be third.
Oh, that'll be nice.
I think Leclerc will be second again. And then I think Verstappen will qualify first. I think Perez will make a mistake and not get into the Q3.
And I think it's smart putting down the wild cards at the beginning, because then that's, let's go over the weekend. Yeah. Are they the wild card or not, as opposed to just on the race day? So let's do that going forward.
Do our qualifying wild cards and guesses?
Yeah, but
they're your wild cards for the race, not the...
For both. I reckon it's the wild card for the weekend.
Weekend. Okay, the weekend. Yeah.
Yep, all right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so essentially next weekend, but the next race is the 22nd to the 24th of March.
And then we get to go to China afterwards,
Then we have Japan.
I know, but we get to go to China.
I've never watched the Chinese Grand Prix.
I have on replay, but not live. So it'll be interesting to watch it live. I'm excited.
I like the Malaysian Grand Prix. Speaking of the Malaysian Grand Prix, where is Rosberg? Why is he not commentating? We say speaking of the Malaysian Grand Prix, because our cousin met Rosberg when she went to the Malaysian Grand Prix. So
yeah, back in 2016.
Rosberg is synonymous with Malaysia. Do you reckon he's going to be doing the commentating?
Oh, I want him to.
Who do you think the commentators will be for the Australian race?
Oh, it'd be nice if we got Mark Webber.
Do you reckon it's a conflict of interest, though, because he's Piastri's manager?
No, because I think it depends if he's hired externally by one of the news agencies. So, like, let's just say he's hired by Channel 10. If not, we'll probably get
I hope they don't get the AFL commentators again, because the AFL commentators don't really know much about the F1. The supercar...
The terminology they use, you can see that is very clearly taken from AFL. And it's like, you cannot... It does not work.
Who is the commentator... Van Ginsburg?
He was good last year.
He was good.
The only one.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the 25 minutes.
There's nothing really much else to say.
I can't really make this last longer.
No. Okay, so we will have a week off. Hopefully you enjoyed watching the race. And we shall see you in 2 weeks' time when we are in Australia for the Melbourne Grand Prix.
I mean, we're already in Australia because we live in Australia.
But you will be watching the Melbourne Grand Prix. So.
But also, you've been forewarned. This is our home race. We are very biased. Nothing will go wrong in Australia. Australia is amazing.
It's perfect.
We're biased. Though I'll find it absolutely hilarious if it buckets down in Melbourne at the beginning of the race. Then they get the traditional Melbourne weather where it's sunny, rainy,
like a 40-degree day, and it will rain and be really windy, and then it will rain and then be really hot.
And then humid. Oh, it'll be hilarious.
Anyway, perfect.
Thank you for listening. Until next week, Grid Gas Bags out.
Bye.
Bye.